Alrighty. Shalom, shalom. I guess I could still say Chag Sameach. It was still part of the feast. Today is not a Sabbath, or even, I guess you wouldn't say it's a holy day. It is a set-apart day, though. It is a special day, and it is the Feast of First Fruit, which is also, you could say, the Feast of the Resurrection. So, you know, I think most people would say so far we're only in the beginning of April, middle of April of 2020 in the Roman calendar. And in the Roman year, this has not been such a good year so far. I know in many brethren's lives, there's been a lot of struggles and trials, health difficulties, and also in the world when you see what's happening now. But that all changes today, because today is not a message. You do have to give messages of urgency and messages, you know, of repentance and different things. But today is a message of hope. And this is why this day is my favorite day of the year. It's my favorite day of the year because I think there's more hope in the Feast of First Fruit than any other day that we have. And in a deceptive world we live in today, how thankful are you for the truth that Yahweh has given to you? You know, when you think about it, like I said, one of the things that really has my soul sorrowful in the past, at least a month now, is not only seeing all the suffering and the death out there. It's terrible. And relatively speaking, you know, people say, you know, how many die of the flu every year? But we're seeing this now, these numbers go up exponentially, and we are seeing many people die, which affects hundreds of thousands of people, if not more, millions of people worldwide. But more than even that, the thing that has me sorrowful is the lack of truth in the world, that the truth has no hope, that you really see, you see people all over the world worried and panicking. And, you know, even recently, you know, you'd go out to the supermarket and people were friendly and people say hello and people, you know, the cash register. But today everybody has masks on and everybody's panicking and everybody has to stay 6 feet away from the next person. And it really, it gives me sorrowful because they don't have the hope that we have in this day. And the name of the message is, blessed are the eyes seeing what you see. And are you appreciating what Yahweh gives you? John 6:44 says, no one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. So it's not a matter of people being good enough, you know, to come to Yeshua or come to the truth. It's very clear. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Again, speaking of the resurrection. So it's not something that we chose for ourselves, but it's Yahweh that chose us. 1 John 4:13 says, by this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because of his Spirit he has given to us. And verse 19, we loved him because he loved us first. So, I said this a little bit yesterday, when we were talking about the power of forgiveness, and saying how Yahweh loved us first while we were yet sinners. So while we were in our sinful state, he saw something in each of us, right? So here it is. He knows us before we're born. He knows us from our mother's womb. He knows us as a baby. He sees us grow up. He sees us go in all these bad situations. He sees us get into the world, and yet there's still something in us that he sees that he calls us. But we didn't love him first. We didn't go to him first. He called us first. He came to us. He loved us first. And we should be appreciative of that because he loves everybody. But let's face it, there's 8.5 billion people in the world. And how many people are called first fruits? And like I say, almost every message can go to everybody, right? I gave a message yesterday, you know, on the gift of forgiveness. I think every human being on this planet can benefit from that gift because it's such a powerful thing, the gift of forgiveness. But today, if you're not a first fruit, you might as well turn off the message, because this is only for a small number of people. This is for first fruits. This is for people that are going to be in that first resurrection. This is for that very, very small group of people that not only are going to reign with Yeshua for the 1,000-year millennium, but are going to live for eternity with him as part of his very bride. So knowing that, like I said, out of all the people that ever lived from Adam till today, that you're one of around 30 million people. Out of every 20, 30 million people out there, you're the one that was chosen. Are you taking for granted your calling, right? And we are living in tough times. Face it, like I said, personal trials, health difficulties, you know, financial troubles, troubles with family, troubles, you know, in the world out there, right? As things are changing. Now we have worldwide shutdowns and viruses and all these kind of things. And this is only the beginning of sorrows. It's going to get a lot worse than this. But still, we have a greater hope than that. And are you taking that for granted? We only know the truth because Yahweh gave us the truth. And that's the overriding thing in this world to us compared to other people that don't have it. Luke 10 in verse 16. Luke, the 10th chapter, starting in verse 16. I'm going to go to verse 24. He says, "The ones listening to you listens to me, and the ones rejecting you also reject me. And the one rejecting me also rejects the one having sent me. And the 70 returned with joy." This is when Yeshua sent out the 70 two by two, "saying, 'Master, even the demons are subject to us through your name.' And he said to them, 'I saw Satan falling out of heaven as lightning. Behold, I give you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the demons submit to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven," right? Written in the book of life. "In the same hour, Yeshua rejoiced in the spirit and said, 'I praise you, Father, Master of heaven and earth, that you hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to children. Yes, Father, because so it was pleasing you.'" And that's why, unless you enter as a child, you will not enter. We have to have the childlike attitude of what? The childlike attitude that loves unconditionally, that forgives unconditionally, you know, that has a teachable attitude, all these different things. "In the same hour, Yeshua rejoiced, and he said, revealed them to children. Yes, Father, because so it was pleasing before you. All things are delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows who is the Son except the Father, and who is the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Son may desire to reveal him. And having turned to the disciples alone, he said, 'Blessed are the eyes seeing what you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings desire to see what you desire to see, that many prophets and kings desire to see what you see, and did not hear what you hear, and did not hear.'" So, wow, can you imagine that prophets and kings, right? Think of all the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. And think of all the prophets that are out there, right? Because even Daniel says, you know, "I heard, but I didn't understand." You know, most of the prophets were like that. Many of the things they're prophesying about, Yahweh is speaking through them. But they had no idea and didn't understand what they were prophesying. And Yahweh gives us, we're here in the end of the book. We're in the last chapter. And we can see things from the back of the book. And things that they wished to see that they didn't see, right? And even think about it. Every single Old Testament character, none of them knew Yeshua the way we know Yeshua. Even though some of them, Abraham, right? He knew Melchizedek, who was Yeshua. And King David said, Yahweh said to my Adonai, who was Yeshua. So some of these people knew Yeshua in a way. They knew he was the messenger of Elohim. But they didn't know him as Yeshua. They didn't know him personally as the Savior who came in a human form, you know, and the things that he taught. And that's why I say the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're gold. They're gold because we have these books that every single day of your life, you could read the very words of Yeshua. You don't have to read what I'm saying that Yeshua said. You don't have to read history that somebody 1,000 years after he died and was resurrected said that this is what he did. You could read the very words that he said to his very disciples, right? So what a gift that is. And in a time when 99% of the world is in darkness, in false religion, and idolatry, are you really appreciating? Because I always say this, and it's true, whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. And of course, as we're going through terrible times and trials, and like now going through this thing with the virus, it can become your focus, but you can't make that your primary focus. Your primary focus still has to be the great gift that Yahweh has given to you. Because that gift, although first thing comes with thankfulness, right? And having the spirit of thankfulness and gratitude. But after that, it also comes with great responsibility, as we're going to see. So how blessed we are, not only to know the truth, but to know the one who is the truth, right? So like I say, you know, Yahweh alone is truth. The Bible is the truth of his word. A sermon I'm giving now, it's a message about the truth. But to know Yahweh and Yeshua personally, to have the Holy Spirit open our minds to the truth of his word, it should be the most cherished thing in the world to us. Many Catholics and Christians, they're good-hearted, they give, they pray, they go to church, but Yahweh didn't bless them to open their mind to the truth. So today, there's many people out there that are worshiping this day in a pagan way. You know, Ishtar, Easter Sunday, right? You know, and the sunrise service and all the stuff with the hot cross buns and bunnies and Easter eggs and all everything that's totally pagan. And yet they have good hearts. A lot of them are very loving people, giving people and caring people. And yet Yahweh didn't choose them to open up their mind to the truth. He chose us. He chose us. So it's a call to action. You know, it's not there to just pat ourselves on the back how great we are because Yahweh called us. Because like we said, it's not, he didn't call us because of anything great we did. He called us because of how great he is. But how blessed we are not only to know the truth, but to know the one that is the truth. Because like I said, all these people, billions of people every single day, praying on rosary beads, you know, praying to false deities like Allah and all these false deities, Jehovah and all this false stuff. And yet we know him personally. We know Yeshua personally. That's what Yeshua said. Unless you know him, you can't know the Father. So every Jew that's praying, every Jew that's bowing his head at the Wailing Wall in paganism, right? They don't know Yahweh. Because they don't know the Son. And yet Yahweh has opened up our mind to know him. So the first thing we have to do, like I said, there has to be a great amount of gratitude involved with this. But then we have to see there's a great responsibility. Matthew 13 and verse 9. Matthew 13 and verse 9. And that's why, like I said, this is such a joyful day. The Feast of First Fruit. The day that Yeshua rose from the dead. Matthew 13 and verse 9 says, "The one having ears to hear, let him hear." And that's all over the place, right? We see it in Revelation. We see it to the congregations. The one having ears to hear, let him hear. And there's a lot of people that don't have ears to hear. But we have ears to hear. He's opened up our ears. He's opened up our eyes, right? The same way that Yeshua came and he opened the eyes of the blind. And he opened up the ears of the deaf. But it wasn't just physically blind and physically deaf. It was spiritually blind and spiritually deaf. And he's opened up our eyes to be able to see the truth. And that's why it breaks my heart when I see brethren get into all of these false doctrines and false conspiracy theories. Because whatever is not of the truth is of the devil. And he's opened up our minds. And we do have eyes to see and ears to hear. And that's why we have to stay on that narrow road in Scripture. So the one having ears to hear, let him hear. And coming near, the disciples said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Right? If you ask the average person, why did Yeshua speak to the crowds in parables? What do most people say? Oh, he did that to make it easier. He spoke in a parable to make it easier to understand. But listen to what he says. In answering, he said, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but it is not given to those. For whoever has, to him will be given, and he will have overabundance. But whoever does not have even what he has will be taken. Because of this, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." Right? So he's not doing it to make it easier for them to understand. He's doing it because they're blinded to it. "And the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled on them, which says, in hearing you will hear and in no way understand, and seeing you will see and in no way perceive. For hardened is the heart of this people, and with their ears they were hard of hearing, and their eyes were blinded, that they should not see with their ears, and hear with the, they should not see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand in their heart, and return, and I heal them. But your eyes are blessed because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you that many prophets and righteous ones desired to see what you see and did not see, and to hear what you hear and did not hear. So, again, you know, every one of us, I didn't grow up in the truth. My family didn't grow up in the truth, right? So I came in the truth by myself, very young age, you know, in my late teens, came into the truth and followed this way. And sure, my desire, my whole heart would be to see, you know, my father come into the truth, to see my brothers come into the truth, to see my uncles and aunts, my cousins come into the truth. But you know what? That's probably not Yahweh's will, and there's nothing I can do about that. But you know what I can do? I can do something about me. I can embrace this truth, and I can go out there and I can be a good example of the truth, and I can bear fruit the way Yahweh wants me to. And then you know what? When the white throne judgment comes around and my family is resurrected, then they'll see. So I can be a witness and example to them, but I have to understand the will of Yahweh. And for some people, their families are in the truth. Some people, they're not in the truth in the beginning and they come to the truth later. You know, I'm 36 years in the truth. I've heard every kind of situation. I've heard situations where a wife came in and the husband didn't come in. And then the husband came into the truth. And then the husband becomes a minister. And then the husband winds up leaving, you know. So I've seen all kinds of things happen through the years. So it's not for us to be the ones judging and trying to figure out. It's for us to embrace the calling that Yahweh's giving us. Because blessed are the eyes seeing what you see. And if not, what's going to happen is time is going very, very quick. Whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. If you're not focused on this, you're going to lose sight of your calling. And what will happen is that what Yeshua prophesied and warned about, the cares of the world. And the cares of the world have to do with sickness. They have to do with money. They have to do with family problems. They have to do with viruses like we're seeing. They have to do with economics, all kinds of stuff. And these things now, as we're in the beginning of sorrows, they're only going to multiply. So our focus has got to be on the narrow road. It's got to be looking straight ahead toward the kingdom. Because there's no doubt, right? Like I said, if you're still watching this and you haven't shut it off yet, then that means you're a first fruit. Because this is only for the first fruits today. It's only for them. And if you're one of them, then this means it's time for us to suck it up and to go out there and to finish the work that Yahweh called us to do. John 4 and verse 22. John 4 and verse 22 says, "You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for life is of the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers," right? The first fruits, "will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father also seeks such, the ones worshiping him. Elohim is spirit, and the ones worshiping him must worship in spirit and truth." And this is why all of this false stuff that's out there, all these false conspiracy theories, and like I said, it's not one or two. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of websites, because it's a market now. It's a market where they can sell you videos and they can sell you supplements, you know. And there's people out there, all kinds of websites, selling people now colloidal silver against the coronavirus and all these other things against the coronavirus. And it's a market. I saw it during Y2K. You know, probably a lot of people listening to this remember that. Some may not. But it wasn't that long ago, 20 years ago, when Y2K was coming, it was the same thing. You know, all of this hype of the end of the world in 2000, all the computers are going to go down. And people were selling years and years and years of those military foods that you could store, that, you know, you could eat. And the same kind of things. And that's not what's going to save us. Nothing wrong with preparing. Like I said, I got the 7-point plan. We need to prepare. But that's not where our salvation is in. And it certainly isn't following all these false conspiracy theories. It certainly isn't, you know, believing the earth is flat or any of this other stuff, because it's not of the truth. And like it says, the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free, you know. And those who worship the Father must worship him in spirit and truth. And that's why it's kind of ironic that today is Feast of First Fruits, but it's also Ishtar Sunday. So you have people out there that are worshiping. And like I said, probably many, if not most of these people, in the white throne judgment, Yahweh will respect them if their hearts are right, but they're not first fruits. So you have the first fruits honoring in truth, and then you have the other people that their hearts may be right, but it's not. And Yahweh, he could look on the heart and he could forgive them, but he can't honor that. He can't honor worship toward a pagan deity. He can't honor hot cross buns and sunrise services toward the sun. He can't honor that because it's not truth. And that's the key now. We have to worship him in spirit and truth. John 8 and verse 30 says, as he spoke these things, many believed into him. Then Yeshua said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Right? Sin puts us in bondage. Sin puts us in bondage, and the truth sets us free. And that's why Satan wants Christians to believe that the Torah is nailed to a tree or nailed to a cross, because it's the truth, it's the Torah, it's the word of Yahweh, it's his character that's going to free you. What's it going to free you from? Thou shalt not commit adultery. It's going to free you from all the penalties of adultery. You shall not lie. It will free you from all the punishment of bearing false witness, of stealing, of worshiping other deities, of breaking the Sabbath day, of not honoring your parents, of coveting. All of these things are going to put you in bondage, right? And the Torah, the word of Yahweh, will set you free. And the first thing that has to set you free is the blood of Yeshua to pay the penalty what you already did that you didn't even know you were doing. But that's what's going to set you free. The truth sets you free. And any lie that's not of the truth is going to keep you in bondage. And there's more lies, there's more confusions, there's more fake news, there's more of everything. And that's why the first thing Yeshua warned in the end time, Matthew 24, right? Luke 21, Mark 13, watch for deception. Watch for deception. That was the first thing he warned from, because it's the truth that sets us free. And we got to cherish that truth. And we have to love the truth so much that we're never going to turn from the truth. We will never turn from it, right? In Judaism, wearing the pagan kippah, all the different thousand Sabbath laws, they have just as much, if not more, paganism than any other religion. Religion is man-made. Religion will never bring you toward Yahweh. Relationship is what brings you toward Yahweh, not religion. Colossians 2 and verse 10. Colossians 2 and verse 10. Because there's only one reason why we're sitting here and our minds are open. Because the Holy Spirit opened up our mind. But in order for the Holy Spirit to open up our mind, right? In order for the Holy Spirit to be living inside of us, what do you have to do? You know, remember, we talked about it. Acts 2:38. When they ask, what do we do? We believe this. Yes, we believe we have a fallen nature. We believe we're sinners. We know that we can't save ourselves. So what do we do? And what did Peter tell them? Repent and believe. Repent and believe in the blood of Yeshua. So Colossians 2 and verse 10. And it is through him that you have been made complete, and he is the head of all angelic orders and authority, in whom you also were circumcised with a circumcision not made by hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Messiah, being buried with him in baptism, and by him you were raised with him, for you believed in the power of Yahweh who raised him from the dead. This is Resurrection Day, right? The Feast of First Fruit. They came to the tomb and he wasn't there. And what did the cherub say? He is risen. Why do you look for the living among the dead? And you who were once dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has granted to live with him, having forgiven all your sins. What does that mean to you? And by his mandates, he canceled the legal contract of our sins, which existed against us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to the torture stake. That's what's nailed to the torture stake. Because every human being, we have a legal contract, right? On Judgment Day, in the White Throne Judgment, every human being, there's going to be a contract of all the sins that they committed. And unless those people, and many of them who are Christians, will surrender to Yeshua and Yahweh at that point. But if they don't, there's no other way. Because it's eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life for life. And either if you committed those sins that are worthy of death, either you're going to pay with your life or Yeshua's death will pay with his life. But what does it mean to you that you've done that already? And that's why I say, think of it. You're in this prison. You know, you're in death row. You're behind those bars and you're sitting there. And, you know, you're waiting to go to die. You're going to be crucified. You're going to be whatever, injected, whatever it is. You have a death penalty. And now it's midnight. You're going to go and you're going to be killed. And 5 to midnight, you know, the phone rings and the governor gives you a reprieve because you find out that somebody paid that penalty for you. You weren't just pardoned, because you can't be pardoned because we did sins that hurt people. So that wouldn't be justice to just pardon us. If you murder somebody, it's not justice to just let you go because that person is still dead. So the penalty has to be paid. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. But you find out that that penalty was paid. That Yeshua, by his shed blood and being the eternal co-creator with Yahweh, that his life is worth more than all of the lives together that he created. And he chose you and he said, yes, I accept what you're asking me. I will allow my blood to cover your sins. And he who was without sin became sin so we could be the righteousness before Yahweh. That we could be pure before Yahweh by accepting that. And that's what this is about. Because there is no resurrection day without the crucifixion. There has to be the crucifixion. There has to be the penalty that's paid before the resurrection could happen. And then Yahweh didn't leave Yeshua in the grave. He resurrected him because he's his righteous son. So we really have to meditate on that because that's heavy. And when it does, like I said, it's not just, you know, for us to go out and live our life to ourselves. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. It's the fact that he paid for our life. And now he's saying, I'm going to live in you. And your life will be my life. You have to live for me. I will live in you and you will live for me. Romans 3:31, does it do away with Yahweh's Torah? Yahweh forbid. Do we nullify the Torah by faith? For being on the contrary, we establish the Torah. We establish the Torah. Because now that he's living in us, right? And he's not the proprietor of sin, we have to live by the Torah. We have to try to the best of our ability. And where we falter, that's where Yahweh's Spirit comes in. And, you know, the Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And when we make mistakes and we do sin, his blood covers all sin, past, present, and future. In Satan's world today, many still seeking lies, fake news, conspiracy theories, rotating Sabbath. It all goes on, and it distances them from Yahweh. So anything that is not of the truth is only going to distance you. And that's the point now, that we are ambassadors for Yahweh. So the message we're bringing, it can't be 50% truth or 70% truth or even 90% truth. We have to have the whole truth, which is only from his word. And that's the message we're bringing. Proverbs 9 and verse 8. Proverbs 9 and verse 8 says, do not reprove a scorner, that he not hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Give to a wise man and he will be more wise. Teach a just one and he will increase in learning. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It all starts with the fear of Yahweh. Because I know to many brethren, spirit begotten children of Yahweh that are watching this today, that this the zeal of Yahweh is stirring inside of you. And it's exciting you and it's making you realize, yeah, what he's saying is right. I got to take my calling and I got to bear fruit and I got to do these things. So this is where loving correction comes in. But to a scorner, he's bored. He might even shut it off. He'll say something about the way I'm talking, or say something about my suit, or say something about, oh, what is it? So the scorner can't take the correction, but the wise man does. And the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of it. Because without the fear of Yahweh, there's no way to go. You will never, ever change without the fear of Yahweh. And that's why, like I say, it's the first gateway to the kingdom. If there's anybody new watching this, it's amazing. Recently, we're getting many new people that are coming to the website from all over the world, asking for congregations you name it, all different parts of the world. So praise Yahweh for that. So if you're new and you never heard the message on the fear of Yahweh, the first gateway to the kingdom, please listen to that because it's an awesome message and that's where everything starts. So we should never stop growing in truth, but also never give up the truth we have. So we have to grow in the grace and knowledge of Yeshua Messiah. So we're always growing, but we never give up the truth we have. And growing in truth isn't getting falsehoods. That's not growing in truth. What it means is things like I talked about yesterday, forgiveness, and patience, and love, and faith, that as you grow into the truth, you're understanding these subjects in a greater way than you never did before. The understanding of the truth is to a deeper level. It's not finding out, you know, false conspiracy theories that is only lies of Satan. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Master and Savior, Yeshua Messiah, and of Yahweh the Father. To him be the glory both now and to the days of eternity. Amen." So this is what we have to do. We have to mature, and especially now as we're growing closer to the end, we need to mature, that as we see these peripheral things in the world around us, and some of them are very disheartening, you know, to see worldwide viruses and martial law and all this other stuff, we can't let it affect us because it has no bearing on our spiritual life. You know, it has no bearing on our spiritual life. And like I said, in Babylon, where we are growing more than anywhere is in the prisons. We have way, way more brethren that are in prisons than even out of prisons now. You know, we get hundreds of letters that are coming from prisoners all the time. And I try to share with them that only their body is in prison. Their mind is not in prison, because Satan cannot imprison your mind. He can only imprison your body. He can only imprison your mind if you allow him to. You know, and that's why I say, if there's something in your mind, if there's greed, if there's lust, if there's covetousness, if there's pride, you got to get rid of it, because it's his and he's going to come back looking for that. But we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Master. Revelation 8, 3 and 4, because this is where really now we need to become greater prayer warriors. We need to be praying more and more fervently, because prayer will keep us on that narrow road to Yahweh. Revelation 8 and verse 3 says, "And another cherub came and stood on the altar, having a golden censer. And many types of incense were given to him, that he should give them with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense went up with the prayers of the saints out of the hand of the cherub before Yahweh." And here's something else. Blessed is the eye seeing what you see. How appreciative are you that your prayers go directly to heaven, right? Your prayers go directly to heaven. We're the children of Yahweh. We're the first fruits. And like it says here, that our prayers is incense to him. It's sweetness. And what does that mean to us? You know, like I said, in one way, it's awesome gratitude, and it humbles us that out of all the people on the earth, that Yahweh is hearing our prayers. But also what it is, it's a great responsibility, because that means we should be praying more for others. Not only for ourselves, but we should be praying for the brethren. We should be praying for the world. We should be moaning and groaning for the abominations going on. And we should be praying for where Yahweh can use us more. So our prayer life really has to magnify in these days ahead. And like I said, that's why on the website, you know, we have the prayer requests. So worldwide, anybody can go there. You can go there every day and look at and see if there's any updates, that everyone could be praying for each other. Very simple. You know, we don't have to complicate it. You don't have to, you know, make it more than what it is. It's real simple. Just, there's the prayers. You go and you get the prayers and you pray. You know, because Yahweh hears our prayers. Yahweh hears our prayers. Philippians 1 and verse 27. Philippians 1 and verse 27 says, "Only behave yourself worthily of the good news of Messiah, so that whether coming and seeing you, or whether I am far away, I may hear of your good conduct. And you stand fast in one spirit, in one soul, triumphing together in the faith of the good news. And not being terrified in anything by our adversaries, whose conduct is the sign of their own destruction, but to your salvation, and this from Yahweh. Because it was granted to you on behalf of Messiah not only to believe in him, but also to suffer on his behalf." So how blessed are we, right? That now, blessed are the eyes seeing what you see. That even for the trials we're going through, even for the suffering we're going through, that is a blessing that Yahweh is allowing us to suffer on behalf of Yeshua. He's allowing us to go through what our Messiah went through. He's allowing us to feel exactly what he felt. And what it's doing is, it's the baptism of fire. It's purifying us for the job that we're coming for the kingdom. And we have to be. None of us are ready, if Yeshua came today, none of us are ready to shed these mortal bodies and go and meet him in the air, because we have things in our character we still have to get rid of. So it is a blessing by Yahweh to allow us to suffer on his behalf. We are blessed to be able to suffer on behalf of Messiah and to grow into his grace. And we don't want to take these things for granted. Like I said, when I was in Church of God, 70 to 80% of the second generation believers wound up leaving the truth because they took it for granted. They were born into it. They knew no other way, you know, and they took it for granted. But what I saw was, even with the ministers, I saw the ministers that became ministers later in life, you know, when they were 50, 60 years old. They were stronger ministers because they came from the world and they knew the other side. These young kids who grew up, you know, as ministers' kids, and they went to the college there and they came out 24, 25 years old to become a minister. They never really understood the things of life because they never experienced them. So we want to make sure that we're not taking these things for granted, right? And to be able to suffer on Yeshua's behalf, we have to really internalize this, because while you're going through the suffering, like it says, it's never pleasant while you're going through it, but it's bearing fruit for eternity for afterward. And you have to remember that during the time you're going through it so you can get through that time. It's important. Acts 5 and verse 40. Acts 5 and verse 40 says, "And they obeyed him, and calling the apostles, having scourged them, having commanded not to speak on the name of Yeshua, even they set them free." So this is when the apostles are before the Sanhedrin, and they're warning them, don't speak on this name anymore, and then they're scourging them. "And they departed from before them, rejoicing that they were worthy because of the name to be despised. And they would not cease all day to teach in the sanctuary and at home, and to preach about our Master Yeshua the Messiah." So they were rejoicing because they were worthy to be despised because of the name of Yeshua. Do you do that? When you suffer, you know, unjustly, you know, maybe somebody falsely says something about you, or maybe, you know, you lose your job because of the Sabbath, or whatever it might be, you know, whatever it might be, when you're being unjustly being wronged, do you glorify Yahweh that you're being able for his namesake to suffer? We got to keep perspective with this. Philippians 3. Philippians 3 and verse 7. Philippians 3 and verse 7. I'll go 7 to 11, then drop down to verse 20. Philippians 3 and verse 7. "But these things which were once a gain to me, I have counted a loss for the sake of Messiah." So this is the Apostle Paul talking, right? Who was a Pharisee of Pharisees, probably part of the Sanhedrin, right? You know, learned at the feet of Gamaliel. And this is what he's saying. "But these things which were once a gain to me, I have counted a loss for the sake of Messiah. But no, rather, I also count all things to be loss because the excellency of the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua, my master, for whose sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them to be trash, garbage, that I might gain Messiah," right? So what is it? What is it that you feel you've given up? Have you given up a job? Have you given up financial things? Have you given up maybe loss of family members at times? You know, have you given up maybe a college education? Whatever it could be, what did you give up? Sorry to say, some people have given up nothing. Some people just go on with their life and they live in the world and they've given up nothing for Yeshua. But people that really come to faith and they come out of the world and they give things up, right? Do you feel like, are you feeling like what you've gotten is less than what you've given up? Because if you do, you got a problem. "And to be found in him, not having my own righteousness of the law, but through the faith of Messiah, having the righteousness of Elohim on faith. And through his righteousness, that I may know Yeshua and the power of his resurrection," because that's what it's all about, "and be a partaker of his sufferings, even to a death like his, if somehow I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." So think about it. You know, you go to school for 15 years for whatever, you know, to be a lawyer. And you come out to be a lawyer, and then you come to the truth and you realize, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go in these unjust courts every day where all this stuff's going on that's unrighteous and everything. And you quit. And who knows, maybe you're doing whatever. Maybe, you know, you're working in a flower store or whatever you're doing from there. Do you feel like you've given up all the money you spent on your education, all the money that was there? Because you know what you're getting in return? You're getting eternal life. You're getting the resurrection. So whatever you've given up, maybe your job, you were working a job and you're making $200,000 a year, and you come to faith and you realize you got to quit it because they force you to work on the Sabbath. And now you have a job making $30,000 a year. You have a job making 1/7 of that. Do you feel like, wow, I've given up all this. I've given up all this money. Because what can you give for eternal life? What on earth can you exchange? Because face it, every one of us we know we're going to be born. And from the day you're born, you have so many days. 28,372 days. Next day, 28,371 days. Next day, 28,370 days. Some people only have 12,000 days. Some people have one day. Babies are born and die in a day. Some people might have 30,000 days. But one thing is sure. Those days go down every day. And the day is going to come that you're going to die. Whether you're King David, right? Whether you're Noah, whether you're Abraham, whether you're the Apostle Peter or Paul, every single one lived and every single one is laying in the grave now waiting for the resurrection. And because of what they sacrificed, willingly, zealously, what they sacrificed, every one of them will be resurrected together with us at the time when it comes. You know, that we'll all be resurrected together, that we'll get our reward together, like it says in Hebrews 11. But there is nothing that you had in this life that would sacrifice, that would equal eternal life. There's nothing. What Yahweh has given us, not only forgiving our sins, but giving us immortality, that we will live forever and never, ever suffer, never get sick, never be hungry. There's nothing that you could pay for that. And that's why I say this is the greatest day of the year. This is the most awesome day because this is what it pictures. Drop down to verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from where we also wait for a Savior, the Master Yeshua Messiah. We are not, I say this, you know, I just came from the conference in Africa where we had people from around, I forget what it was, 13 or 15 different African countries there. And I say, you know, Yahweh may have put black skin on you and he may have given you this little piece of paper that says you're a Kenyan or, you know, you're a Ugandan or you're, a, you know, Ethiopian. But you're not. Because the spirit is the same. The same spirit in me is the same spirit in you, and the same spirit in you, and the same spirit in you. And the spirit is not flesh and blood. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yahweh, right? We have to shed this flesh and blood. And Yahweh may have put a spirit on us to be black or white, or to be male or female, or to be an Israelite or a Gentile, and maybe from a different country with a different piece of paper that says you could travel here or there. But at the end of the day, we're all spirits, right? And our citizenship is in heaven. We are ambassadors for the kingdom of Yahweh. That's what our job is. An ambassador, one of the first rules of an ambassador, besides you're always in state, right? The ambassador is always in state. So because you always have to know who you represent. But one of the other major rules of an ambassador is that an ambassador never joins the country he's sent to. So, you know, the ambassador from America who's going to Japan, right? He doesn't become Japanese. He serves the people there in the American interest because he's an ambassador for America. But you never join the country you're sent to. And that's why I say, doesn't matter what your passport says. It doesn't matter what you look like. We're all part of the kingdom of Yahweh. Yahweh only gives us these bodies that we have and the skin color that we have and the gender that we have to serve him more, you know? So like I say, you know, women, we need leaders, women, we need leaders of men. We need people that can be the right of the kingdom of Yahweh and to be able to teach the other people in the congregation and outside the congregation of that. But our citizenship is in heaven, verse 21, who will transform our body of humiliation, right? This body of corruption to the likeness of his glorious body, according to his mighty power to be able even to subject all things under him. Wow. So here it is. He will take this corruptible body, this body that every day only gets older. So in one way you say, well, if you're blessed to live to 70 or 80 years, right? Well, look at some people 70 and 80, and not everyone would say it's a blessing. When you're old and your body's old, you know, and you're going through all different kinds of health issues. So it's kind of interesting, right? That when you're young and you're strong and you have all your strength, you're stupid and you don't have the wisdom. When you're older and you have the wisdom, you don't have the strength. And Yahweh did this. It proves to me that there is can't be evolution. Because evolution is the only the strongest continue, right? Here it's the opposite. As you get older, you get weaker, but you get wiser. Right? And that's what Yahweh's given to us, you know. But he's gonna transform our body of humiliation, you know, and that's why you don't have to try to cake on makeup. You don't have to try to make your hair color different. You don't have to try to look something you're not, because our bodies are bodies of humiliation, and we're looking to shed these bodies to get a spiritual body that looks like him. And like it says in 1 John, we don't know what he looks like, but we know when he comes that we will look like him because we'll see him as he is. And that's our hope. That's the hope of this day. Of shedding these bodies, not holding on to them. And that's the human nature way. That people trying to hold on to the flesh when we're supposed to be dying to the flesh every day. And looking forward to the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. Because there's nothing fleshly you're taking into the kingdom of Yahweh. You know what you take in? You take in the character that you're building. That's the only thing you're going to take in. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9 says, for we labor together with Elohim, and you are Elohim's work, and you are a building of Elohim, right? Together we are the body of Messiah. We are the temple, the sanctuary of Yahweh. And together each of us are pillars and floorboards and roof ceilings and all this stuff. We are that together, each of us. According to the grace of Elohim given to me, as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, but another builds on it. But let each one be careful how he builds, for no one is able to lay any other foundation beside the one having been laid, which is Yeshua Messiah. That is our foundation. That is our salvation. That is our resurrection. That is everything, right? And all these peripheral things, we can't get caught up in them. And if anyone builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, grass, straw, right? All these earthly things, look what will happen. The work of each will be revealed, for the day will make it known, because it is revealed in fire, right? The first time Yahweh destroyed the world with a flood, he said he'll never do it again, but the second time it's with fire. And Yeshua said, if I come to this earth to light a fire, what is it to me if it's already lit, right? He's not lighting the fire. He's just coming and he's going to burn up everything that's not of his. So the day will make it known because it's revealed in fire. And isn't it kind of interesting? Today we see these massive fires. Australia this year, half the country almost burned. California, we're seeing fires like we've never seen in the history of man. Down in the Amazon, right? All these fires that are burning. Because the work of each will be revealed, for the day will be make it known because it's revealed in fire. And the fire will prove the work of each, what sort it is, right? So if it's earthly, the fire is going to burn it up. But if it's eternal, if it's building in character, if you're building fruit for the kingdom, right? Then no fire can do anything to that. If the work of anyone which is built survives, he will receive his reward, right? On the fruit that we're building. And the one whose work shall be burned, he will suffer loss, but he will be delivered, but as so through fire. Do you not know that you are a sanctuary of Elohim and the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you? That is what goes. The character that you're building is the only thing you're taking into the kingdom. You're not taking your house, you're not taking your car, you're not taking your education, you know, and your PhDs on the wall. You're not taking a job, you're not taking silver and gold or anything else. It's the character that you're building and the fruit that you're bearing, right? So that's what's important. That's what we should be doing out there. So when I say, blessed are the eyes seeing what you see, the fact that you know this, you should be out there bearing fruit. You know, according to the gifts that Yahweh has given you, you should be out there using those gifts and bearing fruit for his kingdom. That's what it's about, and growing in character. The fleshly things of the world are corrupted and will perish. We await for the transformation of shedding these earthly bodies to be raised with him. Only the character we build will remain as the sanctuary of his body. Wow. So now, let's go on to the greatest hope, the hope that this day brings. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, and verse 13. But I want you to know, my brethren, concerning those who sleep, right? The dead are asleep. They're not up in heaven, because if they were, what would be the point of the resurrection, right? If you're already up in heaven. But I want you to know, brother, concerning those who sleep, that you should not grieve as the rest who do not have hope. And it's sad, okay? We've went through some death in our family recently, our extended family, and it's very sad. But to me, the saddest thing is to see someone die with no hope. Somebody that has hope, somebody that's a believer, you feel bad, but you say, you know what? I feel bad for me because I love this person. I'm not going to see them until the kingdom. I don't feel bad for them because they're done. They like the Apostle Paul said, he's followed the course. He's finished the race. And I wouldn't want him alive right now. He did his work. Let him rest like Daniel. Daniel, go and rest until your day. Daniel was, he fulfilled the job that he had to do. And now he's resting, right? So we don't grieve the way other people because we know there's a resurrection. We know that they'll live again. Just like with Lazarus, right? What happened when Yeshua said, do you believe that he will live again? And she said, I believe in the resurrection. And what did Yeshua say? I am the resurrection and the life. All those that believe in me, although they die, they will live. Wow. That's what's important. Not getting over a sickness in this world, not being healed of something now because you're still going to die. Lazarus still died. Even though he was resurrected then, he still died. He's still in the grave, right? He's still sleeping, waiting the resurrection. But believing in Yeshua, you will be resurrected and get immortality. You'll never die. For if we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, even so Elohim through Yeshua will bring with him all those who have fallen asleep, all those who died. For we say this to the word of Elohim, that we, the living, who remain to the coming of our master, will not at all go before those who have fallen asleep, the others that died. Because the master himself will come down from heaven with the commanding shout of an archangel's voice, right? The seventh trumpet. And with the trumpet of Yahweh, and the dead and Messiah will rise again first. They'll come out of their graves and come to meet him. And then we who remain alive will be caught up together. We will shed these earthly bodies and we'll meet him in the air. We will meet them in the clouds to meet with our master in the air. And so we will always be with our master. So comfort each other with these words. Wow. And you cannot get more comforting words than that. There's nothing more in Scripture that could be more comforting to know that death has no power over you. That if we follow this road, if we continue for these few short years we have left, if we endure until the end, that nothing can stop our immortality of being with Yeshua forever. And we will see him face to face. We will be like him because we will see him face to face. You'll be able to hug him and hold on to him and ask him a question. You'll be able to walk with him and eat with him, just like the apostles did. And all this is right at the cusp. It's right at the end of this. We've taken this long journey and we're almost to the top of the mountain. And right on the other side is the kingdom of Yahweh. What an awesome, awesome day. Revelation 20 and verse 4. Revelation 20 and verse 4. And like I said, this is what first fruits is all about. You've got to become a first fruit. Because if not, this day is not for you. And I saw thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And the souls of the ones having been beheaded because of the witness of Yeshua, the first fruits and the great martyrism, and because of the word of Yahweh, and who had not worshipped the beast, nor its image, nor received the mark on their forehead or on their hand. You know, I noticed very interesting that the temperatures they're taking of all the people now, when they go somewhere, where do they do it? They do it right on your forehead. They take that temperature, you know, and that's what they say, that that's where your hand, and the hand in the forehead is where the chip, the temperature in that part of your body for that chip to be. But these people didn't take it, and they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection, right? The first fruits. Blessed and holy is the one having part in the first resurrection. The second death has no authority over these, but they will be priests of Yahweh and his Messiah, and they'll reign with him 1,000 years. We will be there restoring the earth. We will be there going to these people that are suffering much worse than what we're seeing today from the coronavirus. Viruses that will be worldwide. Everyone will have lost somebody, and we'll be comforting those people, and we'll be healing those people, and we'll be bringing the word from the kingdom of Yahweh. Wow. It's just unreal. Romans 8, it's almost unbelievable to even think about what Yahweh has for us. And if it wasn't in his word, if it was only in a history book or something, I probably almost doubt it. But the fact that it's in the Bible, it's in his word, it's in his truth, that is undeniably true, that none of it can be false, that Yahweh can't lie, that we can believe it 100%. Romans 8 in verse 11. But if the spirit of the one having raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, if you've been baptized in living water, right? You've been baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. You accepted the shed blood of Yeshua for those forgiveness. And you had a true elder of Yahweh lay hands on you. Somebody that has the authority for the giving of the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit is in you. You're a first fruit, right? So if the spirit of the one having raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, the one having raised the Messiah from the dead will also make your mortal bodies live through the indwelling of his spirit in you, the resurrection. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the spirit you put the practices of the body to death, you will live. For as many as are led by the spirit of Elohim, these are the children, the sons of Elohim. For we did not receive a spirit of slavery again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, by which we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. The Spirit itself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of Yahweh. And if children, then heirs, truly heirs of Elohim and joint heirs of Messiah. If we suffer together, we will be glorified together with him. Wow. And I calculate that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to compare to the glory to be revealed in us. Boy, what an understatement that is. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits the revelation of the sons of Elohim. Even the whole creation is moaning and groaning. And you know something? They've been showing over the last, I don't know how many years, but the last few years, these sounds all over the world. You're hearing these sounds of like, some sound like groaning, like, ooh, some sound like wind. People don't know what it is. It's the creation that is moaning and groaning, waiting for us to mature. That's it. Yahweh is just waiting for us to mature, and then the kingdom of Yahweh comes. For the creation was not willingly subjected to vanity, but through him subjecting it on hope, that also the creation will be freed from the slavery of the corruption, the freedom of the glory of the children of Elohim. And that's why one of the reasons these viruses are coming is because we're destroying the rainforests. We're destroying the jungles in Africa. We're destroying all these things. And these animals that normally are never near people are coming into society and they have tons of viruses on them. And this is what's happening. And the creation is groaning because we've got to go back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden. And this is all part, wow, to be heirs of Yahweh, to be children of Yahweh and truly heirs of him. What more can we say? It's almost unreal to be literal trials. All trials now only for purification. This is where faith comes in. Anything that's happening to you now, you have to understand Yahweh is allowing it just for purification, the baptism of fire. It's not a punishment, it's a purification. And like we said in 1 John 3, when that day comes, we don't know what he looks like now, but we will then because we will see him as he is. We will be just like him. We will be just like them because there's one spirit. There's one spirit. There's one hope. There's one faith. 1 John 5 and verse 10. 1 John 5 and verse 10. First John 5 and verse 10. Says, the ones believing in the Son of Yahweh have the testimony in himself. The one not believing Yahweh has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony which Yahweh has testified concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that Yahweh gave us everlasting life, and this life is in his Son. The one having the Son has life. The one not having the Son of Yahweh does not have life. There's no other way. There's no back door. Either you have life through the shed blood of Yeshua, or you don't have life, period. I wrote these things to you, the ones believing in the name of the Son of Yahweh, Yeshua, that you may know that you have everlasting life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of Yahweh, Yeshua, praise his name. And this is the confidence we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. And that's why, like I said, why prayer is so important. It's so important because he's hearing our prayers. And his word is saying that we need to be praying for each other. We really need to be praying for each other. It's very important. Luke 12 and verse 35. Because, wow, how much do we have to be thankful for, brethren? How much do we have to be thankful for? We really have to understand this. Luke 12 and verse 35. Let your loins be girded almost and the lamps burning. And you may be men awaiting their master when he returns from the wedding ceremony, so that he coming and knocking, they will once open to him, just like the 10 virgins, right? Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find when he comes to be awake. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself and will make himself recline, and coming up he will serve them. And if he comes in the second watch, or he comes in the third watch, and he finds it so, blessed are those slaves, right? We're not sure when he's coming, but we know it's shortly. But know this, that if the housemaster had known the hour of the thief coming, he would have watched and would not have allowed the house to be dug through. And you then be ready, for in the moment that you don't expect it, the Son of Man comes. In the moment you don't expect it. We think we know prophecy, right? We think we understand this has to happen or that has to happen. But who knows? He may come at this is what it says. He comes at a time we don't expect it. So that could be any time. And Peter said to him, Master, do you speak this parable to us or also to all? And the master said, who then is the faithful and wise steward whom the master will set over his house, servants, to give the portion of food in season? Blessed is that slave when his master comes and will find him doing. We need to be about our master's business. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that slave should say in his heart, my master delays to come, and should begin to beat the men servants and the female servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that slave will come in a day which he does not expect, and in an hour which he does not know, and he will divide him and will put his portion with the unfaithful. But that slave, knowing the will of his master and not preparing, nor doing according to his will, he'll be beaten with many stripes. But he who does not know, right? The ones who's not first fruits, the Catholics, the Protestants, the ones out there that don't know any better, the ones who do not know and does the things that is worthy of stripes will be beaten with fewer stripes. For anyone who is given much, to him much will be required from him. And to whom they have committed much to him, much more they will require by his hands. So yes, Yahweh does require more of us, that he's opened our mind and we know all his truth, than other Christians out there who don't know the truth. He does require more. And it is his will that he opened our mind. And we do have to take this responsibility. And we do have to be nurturing and growing. And we do have to be bearing fruit. It's that simple. Luke 1 and verse 39. Look at Miriam, the mother of Yeshua. Look at how she reacted when she found out the responsibility that was going to be given to her. Luke 1 in verse 39. And rising up in these days, Miriam went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, right? And she entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened as Elizabeth heard Miriam's greeting, the babe in her womb leaped, and Elizabeth was filled of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, you are being blessed among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this to me that the mother of my Adonai comes to me? For behold, as the sound of your greeting came in my ears, the babe in my womb leaped with exultation. And blessed is she believing, because there will be a fulfillment to the things spoken to her from Yahweh. And then Miriam says, my soul magnifies Yahweh, and my spirit exalted in Elohim my Savior, because he has looked at the meekness of his handmaid. For behold, from now on, he will give me blessings to all generations. Because he has done great things for me, he who is mighty and holy is his name, and his mercy is to generations of generations to those fearing him. Wow. So here it is, right? Right before Yeshua and John the Baptist even born, just when they're in the mother's wombs, that the women are understanding their responsibility. And that's what Miriam is saying. She understands that for all generations, she will be considered blessed. And she's taking that responsibility upon herself. Look how honored and grateful Miriam was to be the mother of Yeshua. How do we feel to be his bride? Right? She felt this way being his mother. How do we feel being his bride? Do we feel that same honor and exaltation? And if we do, then we're going to do something, because like it says, it's not the hearers of the Torah that are justified, it's the doers of the Torah. It's by your deeds, it's not by your words, right? The deed is the evidence of your faith, and if you have that faith and you really believe it, you're going to go out and do something. You're not just going to sit in a corner and be all feared and everything else, because that's not the time for this. It talks about in Daniel 11, the people of Yahweh will be doing exploits, right? And the underground congregation is here, and it's going to become more as the days and months come ahead. But even in the underground congregation, people will be working and people are coming to faith. And we have underground congregations joining us. And this is it. This is the real stuff now. And we need to really, like I said, we need to understand the responsibility given to us. The much is given, much is expected. The more given, the more required. And we need to go out there and grow in the Spirit. We need to bear fruit for Yahweh. And we need to finish his work. Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Look what it says. Hebrews 2 and verse 1 says, "For this reason it is needful for us more abundantly to take heed to the things having been heard, so that we should not fall away." Believe it or not, many people are falling away. The Bible says it in the end time, because of people being distressed and people being the worldly cares, many will fall away. But he says, because of the abundance of the things being told to us, we shouldn't be falling away. It should be the opposite. Look in verse 3. "How shall we escape if we neglect the very things which are for our salvation? Which having received the beginning to be spoken through our master, was confirmed to us by the ones hearing." Right? The continual line. Started with Yeshua. He told the apostles, who told others, who told others, who told others. And now I'm telling you. Somebody told me. I'm telling another elder. And it goes on. Right? This is what he says. "Beginning with our master, was confirmed to us by the ones hearing. But how shall we escape if we neglect the very things which are our salvation?" How shall we? You know, what will we say to Yahweh and Yeshua in that day if we don't fulfill this great commission he's given to us, right? This great day of resurrection, this day that pictures our immortality. How shall we? John 15 and verse 5, a few more scriptures will be done. John 15 and verse 5. John 15 and verse 5. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, this man will produce plentiful fruit. Because without me, you are not able to do anything," right? Are you trying to do it on your own? Remember what we said? Stand back and see the salvation of Yahweh. "For these Egyptians you see today, you will see no more. You be still and let Yahweh do it for you. Without me, you are not able to produce anything. Unless one remains in me, he is cast out as the branch and is dried up. And they gather and throw them into a fire and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you desire, you will ask and it shall happen to you. In this my Father is glorified, that you should bear much fruit. And you will be my disciples," right? He's given us, he's opened our mind to the truth. He's given us all truth we need. He's given us all the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we need. He's given us every opportunity. He's given us the brethren. He's given each other. He's given us everything for us to bear the fruit. And just like the parable of the sower, if you don't do it, it's only because you've buried it in the napkin. There's no other reason for you not to bear fruit. Because no matter who you are, where you're living, or what you're doing, every single one of us can be a prayer warrior. Every single one of us, because the Father hears our prayer, could be going to him every single day praying for all the people that are asking for the prayers. And like I said, through the website, we know what those prayers are. We know the prayers that people are asking. "We are blessed among all people to be called out of this world to be literal children of Yahweh. But it is a great responsibility. To much is given, much is expected. Our life was paid by the blood of Yeshua for us now to live every day for him." Romans 12, right? It's not for us to live to ourselves; it's to live to him. "Therefore, brethren," Romans 12 and verse 1, "I call on you through the compassions of Yahweh to present your bodies a living sacrifice," right? Melchizedek is not about killing an animal. It's not killing a lamb at Passover. It's about being a living sacrifice. "Holy, pleasing to Yahweh, which is your reasonable service." I think if everything I shared today, nobody would doubt that that's our reasonable service. "And be not conformed to this age," right? Come out of this world. "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind," putting on the mind of Messiah, "in order to prove by you what is the good and pleasing and perfect will of Yahweh, right? So, like we said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. He gave his life willingly, so we can also give our life willingly back to him. He died in our place, so we can live in his place. That is why Yeshua said, greater works than this you will do. Because it's not just one body he's living in, one human body. He's living in thousands upon thousands of human body in his congregation all over the earth. When we surrender and we live for him daily, we are happy and fulfilled with zeal. So if there's any joy that's lacking in your life, it's because you're not part of the work of Yahweh. I've said this many, many times. How involved you are with the work of Yahweh is a direct correlation to how happy you are and how zealous you're going to be. We need to be surrendering to him daily in everything and to be meditating on what an awesome calling we have and how we're blessed above all people to be called the sons of Elohim and to know that when he returns, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. If we grow in that character of love that he has for us now. Matthew 28, two more scriptures, we'll finish. Matthew 28. Because what a hope we have. What a hope we have. Matthew 28 and verse 1. But after the Sabbaths, right? Just like we're seeing. We had a holy day Sabbath a couple days ago, and now we had the weekly Sabbath yesterday. After the Sabbaths, at the dawning into the first of the Sabbaths, right? Meaning the first of the Sabbath counts. There's seven counts down to Shavuot. Today is the Feast of First Fruit. We have to count seven Sabbaths. And then the 50th day, the day after the seventh Sabbath, is Shavuot. Miriam of Magdalene and the other Miriam came to look upon the grave, and behold, a great earthquake occurred. For descending upon heaven and coming near, a cherub of Yahweh rolled away the stone from the door and was sitting on it. And his face was as lightning and his clothing white as snow. And those keeping guard were shaken from the fear of him, and they became as dead. And answering, the cherub said to the woman, you must not fear, for I know that you seek Yeshua, who has been crucified. He is not here, for he was raised. And he said, come see the place where he was lying. And going quickly, say to his disciples that he was raised from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. You will see him there. Behold, I told you. And going away from the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, they ran to report to the disciples. So think about this, right? Think about when Yeshua died, they all fled, right? They came to the Garden of Gethsemane and he said, this night you're all going to flee. He even told Peter, three times you'll deny me. And Peter said, if I got to die with you. And Peter denied him one time right in front of Yeshua as they were taking him near the house of Caiaphas. But think how scared they were, because they all thought Yeshua was going to take the kingdom then. They thought when he said, you know, get a sword and we're going, they thought that he was going to militarily take the kingdom. And then he's taken to the Garden of Gethsemane. The next day they see him beaten and suffered and humiliated and crucified. And they had to be scared to death. And think how they felt that resurrection day, that Feast of First Fruit. When they woke up the next day, right? Mary Magdalene, she went there while it was still dark. And he was already resurrected, so he wasn't resurrected at sunrise. He was resurrected in the evening of after the Sabbath was over, Saturday evening, he's resurrected. But she comes there and he's gone, right? And then she comes running to the other ones. And Peter and John, they're running. Who can outrun the next one to get there first? And they're looking and they're seeing he's gone. And the excitement. And then what happens? He comes and he meets them over there. He comes and he meets them. And but the 11 disciples went into Galilee, verse 16, to the mount where Yeshua appointed them. And seeing him, they worshipped, but some doubted. They didn't doubt the resurrection. They doubted about when the kingdom's coming. And coming up, Yeshua talked with them, saying, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. As my Father has sent me, I will send you. Right? So then he gives them the Great Commission. But can you imagine how it is? And in some of the other good news, I'm not going to go there now for time. You could read it on your own. But like in the book of John, where he comes to them, right? And he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And Thomas isn't there. And then they're trying to tell Thomas later. What does he say? Unless I see the holes in his hands and the holes in his side, I won't believe. And then Yeshua comes back and says, put your hand in there, Thomas. See that it's me. And what does he say? Blessed are those who believe and haven't seen. We didn't see the resurrection. We have all the proof in the world to know it's there. But we didn't physically see it with our eyes. And yet, because Yahweh's Spirit has opened up our hearts, we believe. We believe in it. And the one thing you know is, if he was resurrected, then I'll be resurrected. That nothing now, death has no power over me. It doesn't matter if the New World Order comes. It doesn't matter if they take me to prison. It doesn't matter if they kill me. Whatever happens really makes no difference, because I got to die to this flesh every day anyway. I'm trying to shed this flesh. I'm trying to get rid of it. So all they do is, if they come and martyr you, they're just helping Yahweh in his process of glorifying you into a spirit being. But how wonderful that is. Death has no power. Last scripture, Corinthians 15 and verse 47. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 47. But this is why this is such an awesome day. Because this is a day of celebration. This is a day to understand that now, if you endure to the end, if you overcome, if you're bearing fruit, now this is our reward. This is all about what's going to happen to us when Yeshua returns. And this is his promise, and it's as true as anything could be. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 47. The first man was out of the earth earthly. The second man was the master Yahweh out of heaven. Right? Did he pre-exist? Of course he did. As is the earthly man, such are the earthly ones. And such is the heavenly man, so are the heavenly ones. Are you living to the flesh or you're living to the spirit, right? Are you staying in the world with all the world's things, or are you coming out of the world and being sanctified to Yahweh? And as we bore the image of the earthly man, we shall also bear the likeness of the heavenly one. We don't know what he is like yet, like in 1 John 3. But when he comes, we'll see him as he is and we'll be like him. For I say this, brothers, that flesh and blood is not able to inherit the kingdom of Yahweh, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I speak a mystery to you. We shall not all fall asleep, be dead, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the blinking of an eye, at the last trumpet. For a trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. For when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality, then will take place the word that has been written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? Hades, where is your victory? Now the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the Torah. But thanks be to Elohim, who gives us the victory through our Master Yeshua Messiah. So that, my beloved brothers, you be firm, immovable, abounding in the work of Yahweh always, knowing that your labor is not without fruit in the Master Yahweh. It's not without fruit. Everything is being recorded in heaven. And when Yeshua returns, he comes with him, and his reward is with him to give each according to his work, according to the fruit that is born. So we have no greater hope. Death has no power over us as a first fruit, spirit begotten believer. We don't have to fear anything that is coming in the days ahead, but just be thankful to Yahweh for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. And look forward to our transformation to make in his very likeness, as we will see him as he is. So wow, blessed are the eyes seeing what you see. Yahweh bless. Chag Sameach. Sameach first fruits. And happy Resurrection Day.